And I want to help you here tonight. Genesis chapter number 3, beginning at verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, You shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, we've expounded upon that verse there a little bit at different times. Verse number 5. For God doth know that in the day, or in verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, You shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to call this part one, because I'm not going to finish it tonight, and you'll be glad. I'm going to talk to you about the idol of idols. The idol of idols. Part one. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God of heaven, we love you and we need you here tonight. Pray, God, that you would help us today. Come on, would you help me pray here tonight?
Hallelujah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, we magnify you and adore you, God. We glorify you today, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen, and God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Before I forget, if for some reason you're not getting and can't access preaching and messages online on your app, you need to get with Brother Mike and help him get that fixed for you. And that way, when you're not here, that doesn't give you an excuse to not be here. But when you're not here, you can listen in on that. Also, Facebook Live, there's the private party that you can listen in on as well. And then you could even go to the website and listen in. Praise God. I've just heard that a few people's apps has crashed or something and they're not getting it and whatnot. So anyways, be sure to take care of that. Amen. Idol of idols. Praise God. I don't think that I need to define unto you what an idol is, but since we're talking about the idol of all idols, I want to give you an understanding, a complete understanding of that, because an idol is not just simply something that has been carved, shaped, molten, conformed into some type of image that, you know, sits on a coffee table, a fireplace mantle, hangs from rear view mirror, or something along those lines. That's not all that an idol is. But idols do generally refer to an image or a statue. Most of us are probably familiar going into Chinese restaurants and you see the little or the big Buddha and with his bald head and his big belly, and you see all the dollar bills that are somehow or another attached to it or put to it or something else like that. And that generally is the idea of an idol, but it's just an image. It can be a statue.
or an object that is worshipped as a divine deity. But that's not the end of it. An idol can also be a person. Can be a person. It could be a thing regarded with blind admiration, adoration, or devotion. It can be a mere image or a semblance of something visible but without substance, such as a phantom. It also can be a figment of the mind. It can be a fantasy. It can be a false conception or a notion, also known as a fallacy. In our current generation, this would be associated with, you know, because it can be humanity and such, but in the current generation, this would be associated with sports heroes, movie stars, God forbid politicians, but nevertheless, they are looked at as idols. Idols, praise God. Amen. For some people, an idol is their home. Idolize it. It could be a vehicle. It could be a job. You say, well, no, it could. If you give your life to it, absent of the worship of the true God, then it has become an idol unto you. If you're more faithful to your job than to God, it has become an idol unto you. And it could be the things that we literally set before our eyes, unlimited amounts of time. Devices, computers, tablets, video game consoles, such like that. For the world, it's television, because we don't have television. But yet they'll sit there for hours and hours and just watch it. They go to the store. They can't miss it. They'll record it. They'll play it back. Now, that's probably old school. I'm so far behind on the times of actually what happens and stuff like that. But nevertheless, all of these things can and do become idols in our life if we allow them to do so. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And so I would tell you that there is a benefit of idolatry. And you're probably thinking to yourself, whoa, that's craziness. That's way out there. Knowing what I know about idolatry and the negative things that God has to say about idolatry. And yet you're saying that there is a benefit to idolatry. There is. Because when it comes to idolatry, you get to shape it however that you want to. You get to be as elaborate or whatever as you desire to be. Become your religion. You can shape your religion, because that's in reality. That's what it is. You begin to idolize it. You worship it. And it becomes everything that you want it to be. It's as big as you want it to be, or as small as you want it to be. It's as beautiful as you want it to be, or as plain as you want it to be. You can make it elaborate, or you can just simply make it common. You get to decide, define, and describe all of its features. You get to accept or create its abilities, powers, likes and dislikes to your own specifications. Now, this is where it's going to start getting a little bit tight. But the bottom line is you get to serve it whenever you want to, whenever it's convenient for you to. You can be as faithful to it as you want to be, and it doesn't care. You can be as unfaithful to it as you want to be. And it's not going to call you up on the phone and say, hey, I missed you. It's not going to text you a message and say, I missed you. It just does not care. That's the benefit of idolatry. You get to do whatever you want to with it. You can pay big bucks or little bucks. It doesn't care. You can set it right in the middle and be the focus, or you can put it in the dash, on the dash or in the floorboard. It doesn't care. It's all your imagination. Everything is formed according to that. It does take some time for an idol to be crafted. It does take some time and some patience, but the idol doesn't care. If it takes you 3 years for it to become the center of your world, it doesn't care. If it takes you 3 days for it to become the center of your world, it doesn't care. It may have arms, but yet it can't feel. Ears, but it can't hear. Eyes, but it can't see your needs and your spiritual condition. It's not going to be able to look into your heart and see everything that is wrong. It doesn't care. It's not going to be able to warn you of the pitfalls and the dangers that are surrounding you. It could care less. And what I'm simply saying is that in the process of creating this idol in your life, sometimes it is on purpose. I would have to say that all the times it's on purpose, but to a great degree, it is almost deceptive in its conniving ways for you to form it. Such as maybe it takes you 3 years to create it. Let me elaborate on that a little bit. It takes you 3 years to turn your allegiance from a God that does care unto a God that doesn't care. You feel convicted at first when you begin to touch, to feel, to form, to whatever. And you still want the Lord to be God. But after a while, it doesn't affect you like it used to affect you. And it may take a year, 2 years, or 3 years for you to totally take the God that died for you on Calvary and put him in a corner and in a closet to where your allegiance is especially paid for and your attention is given unto this one. And this God that's over here in a closet just kind of appears on Sunday, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know who to turn to and who to run to if you really need help, because that you know that your idol ain't going to help you. When the finances get tight, you know where the closet is, and you can go try to get out Jesus out of there, because you don't go to those sports heroes and say, hey, I'm running a little bit tight on money and I'm wondering if you might be able to forward me a few bucks of your $1 million contract, because you know that ain't going to happen. Amen. And when the kids get sick and such like that, you're not going to go to your idol, your movie stars and all of those others. You're not going to go to them and ask them to help you or to pray for you for your sick child, because you know that whatever you ask isn't even going to get into their realm of attention. They're so surrounded by all of these others that you'll never be able to touch them. But you know where you left last lost, or where you left last the real idol, that and he's more than an idol, but we need to idolize Jesus Christ. But you know where that you left him, and you may have to go dust off that old black book. And you may have to pull it out and such and begin to search for it but you know where to go, because you know that your idol doesn't care for you like Jesus cared for you. And when your marriage is on the rocks and such like that, you know that all of those other things that your job, You know, your boss, and you say, you know what, I need some time so that I can work on my marriage. And what are they going to tell you? Chances are they're going to tell you, you know what, I don't have time for that. I got to get this stuff done. So, well, I've been faithful to you. I've given this and I've done extra. And every time you've needed me, I've come through for you. And now all of a sudden, you know, I need you and you're not. What do? We come running back to Jesus. Forsook him. All of these things are a whole lot more true than I want you to know that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what position that you hold and such. I am susceptible to this as well. Amen. That's just the way that life works. Life has a tendency to overwhelm us and to get us busy to where God is somewhere in the periphery at most. And we can get so busy. I have been so busy working hours and hours and hours on the house of God that I have forgotten about the whole intent of the house of God. And you feel justified. But like, well, you know what, God, I was working on your house. He's like, yeah, you're working on my house, but you never talk to me. You see what I'm saying is it can become that way. It can get that way. And so you have to make a concentrated effort to not be sidetracked by this because the distraction is demonic. The distraction is demonic in its source. And we're going to elaborate on that a little bit here tonight. Praise God. And so I want to share a few verses with you here tonight. Psalms 115 and verse number 4. Psalms 115 and 4 said, their idols are silver and gold, and it is the work of men's hands. I want you to pay attention to that. He said that their idols are silver and gold. It did not necessarily say that they had an idol decked with silver and gold. And it could be along those lines, but their idol, their object of worship was silver and gold, and it was the work of men's hands. Isaiah chapter number 40, and beginning at verse number 18, the prophet began to talk to the people, and he said, to whom then will you liken God? What are you going to look at, point at, and say, this is like God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? He said, the workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. And he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation or no offering or no money. He that is so broke. He that is so broke that he does not have any money to acquire some great expensive idol. The Bible said that even he will choose a tree that will not rot. He's not just going to go out into my backyard and find all the dead wood that's laying around and say, I think I'm going to carve something out of this, because that ain't going to happen. And he knows it. And he will meticulously look for at least a piece of wood that's not going to rot. It may not be brass. It may not be gold. It may not be silver. But I can promise you one thing. It's not going to be rotted wood either. He's going to be meticulous enough to give his best with what he can do. And he said he will choose him a tree that will not rot, and he will seek unto him. He's going to search out. He's going to get on Facebook, and he's going to find the perfect one that's not going to, you know, I need somebody that's not going to charge an arm and a leg for all of this. You know, that's what he's going to do. That's the type of person that I'm describing you. He said he is going to choose him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. In other words, when I set it up in my home, it's not going to fall over because it's out of balance. It's going to be something that I can look at and take a little bit of pride in. It's going to be something that we people come in and look at. They're going to be able to say, nice ornament that you got there. I'm going to give it my best. I may not be able to afford everything like everybody else can, but I'm going, even the heathen, he said, I'm going to give it my best. Everything that I can do, I'm going to make that sacrifice, and I am going to do that. What is the problem with such idolatry? I think that that is an easy question that you and I can answer, but I just want to just reiterate here today some of the simplistic things and some of the elementary things that we tend to look past, and some of the small things, amen, that we don't really pay much attention to, but I want to reiterate it, and it's the fact that idolatry robs the God of heaven of the praise that is due to Him and to Him alone. I don't have time to read my Bible, but I have time to spend hours, amen, scrolling through different things. I don't have time to read my Bible, but I have time to work overtime and to do everything that the boss would ask me to do. I don't have time, amen, to swing by the church and pray. Amen. I don't have the gas money. I don't have this, but I got gas money to go do anything and everything else that I desire to do, but I don't have the time and the money and the effort to do these things for God. Amen. I don't have time, amen, to be so energetic in the house of God, but when I come to the job, I'm going to give it 110% because I want a raise. I'm going to give it my everything because I don't want laid off. I'm going to give everything that I have because I need this job. I want you to know I need God more than I need a job. I need God more than I need a raise. I need God more than I need anything in this world. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? I don't care if you've got $1 million in the bank. If you are spiritually bankrupt, you have missed the mark. You have missed the point. Oh God, take us back to that place, amen, that we can draw away and say, wow, I've really made some mistakes in here. I've got some idols that are set up here that need to be destroyed. I need them put in their place. You've got to have a job. Just don't let it be your God. You've got to have a home. Just don't let it be your God. You've got to have a vehicle. Just don't let it be your God. And don't get to the place that you're so caught up in debt that you can't come to the house of God because you've got to work every waking moment to pay the bills. Amen. Get yourself right. Amen. And make it back to the house of God and say, God, I need you more than anything. I believe that God will supply my every need. I believe that God will supply the wheels that I drive. I believe that God will supply the money needed to pay the bills. But I've got to put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. Praise God. That's not the message that the world teaches. Amen. The world teaches you need to look out for yourself. We're going to get to that here in a moment. I said the world teaches you need to look out for yourself. Praise God. Revelations chapter number 21 and verse number 8 tells us how despicable all this is, because it robs from God. We've got to get back to the place. Somebody says, some people may disagree with what I have to say, and that's okay. We may agree to disagree, but nevertheless, it's the truth. I look at everything that I have and I say, it's because of God. You can look at everything that you have and say, oh no, it's not because of God. It's because I worked hard. And who allowed you to have the job so you could work hard? And who allowed you to keep the health so that you can continue to work hard? Praise God. Who's the one that blessed you so that you could have that job, amen, that would pay extraordinary?
Praise God. It is God that hath blessed. Amen. Every good, the Bible says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What that means is there's no hint of God even changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he'll provide for the old timers, he can provide for me. If they can have faith, amen, that God is going to work it out, I can have faith that God is going to work it out. I want you to know that God is my everything. Amen. In him I live and move and have my being. In him do I trust, and in him alone do I put my confidence. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking to some people here tonight that you know that, and you understand that, and you can testify and say that, and you would say, if it had not been for God who was on my side, may the enemy have rejoiced over my soul. The waters would have overwhelmed me, but God came through, and he helped me, and he brought me through.
Praise the Lord. Say, oh, you churchgoers, that's all you do is go to church. You're missing out. On what? AIDS? Divorce? Busted families? Drugs? Alcoholism? What am I missing? What am I missing? But I can tell you what I've got when I come to the house of God. I've got righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. The world doesn't have that joy. Amen. But when you get the Holy Ghost, it's joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You may be saying, I'm feeling despondent and despair. You need to get closer to the Lord. Amen. And get full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you listen to me here tonight. Sometimes it may not solve every one of your problems, but you're going to feel better when you walk away after being renewed in the Holy Ghost. You're going to say, why wasn't it, amen, solve all of my problems? Sometimes God's got a problem in your life because he knows that's the only way that you continue to trust him. If he takes that thorn in the flesh from you, you won't trust him anymore. Paul said, I prayed 3 times for him to remove that thorn that was in my flesh. And God said, no. My grace is sufficient for you. You can make it. You can make it with your problems. You can make it with your dilemmas. You can make it with your current situation. If God be for us, then who can be against us? It doesn't matter what has come against you. If you'll stay true and faithful to God, you may not have $10,000 in the bank, but you will have streets of gold, walls of jasper, when we make it to the other side. And friend, that's worth it all. Oh, let's magnify him. I don't find it anywhere in Scripture that God said, if you'll serve me and live for me, you'll never have any problems. But you know why you have a problem? Because your enemy can't stand you living for God. That's the problem. He opposes you, and he can't stand the commitments that you're making. And that's why the Bible said, having done all to stand, stand therefore. You've got to withstand. You've got to stand against the things of the world, the things of the enemy. Praise God. Revelations 21 and 8. This is idolatry that robs praise from God. He said, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Well, I only lie when it benefits me. Tell me when it doesn't benefit you. If it's convenient, then I lie. Tell me when it's not convenient. The Bible says all liars. But let's not focus there. He said idolaters. You better be careful what you allow in your life. Because things deceptively can become idols in your life without you recognize it. And you can say, wow, is that, how can I be saved? Understand that God wants you to be saved. And so therefore, the preaching of the Word of God, number one, is going to prick your heart concerning certain things, and you have to respond to that. You can't just hear it. You've got to respond to it. All right? The reading of the Word of God, prick your heart. You've got to respond to it. Amen. Otherwise, you're telling God, shh, I'll be with you later, like Sunday. But today is Thursday. And sometimes it's not the preaching and not the word, it's just the Spirit of God. I've been walking down the mall, and this many, many years ago. I just want you to know, if you ever looked upon somebody that was like totally innocent to a lot of things, that was me, all right? I lived a very sheltered life. I don't even know how. But things in life that, and so I'm walking down the mall, whatever, go to enter into a store and just feel the Spirit say, like, well, something about this doesn't feel right. So what do? Whip out your phone and say, I want book, chapter, and verse. No. If the Holy Ghost and my conscience is talking to me saying something isn't right about this, that's a God-given feeling. I just back up and move on down the road. Amen. That's the way that God talks to you and deals with you. You know, that's like the lady that, you know, she gets the Holy Ghost. She gets the Holy Ghost and maybe the next day she goes to put on a pair of pants or whatever and it just doesn't feel right. She stops doing something. I don't even know why. I just didn't feel right, whatever. It's just the Spirit of God doing those things. There's other things. Now, the Bible says that when the Spirit of truth is come, it will lead you into all truth. So in other words, and I talked about this the other day, but God doesn't just want you to blindly follow Him. I talked about this a few Sunday mornings ago. The Bible said that's not wise. It's not wise for a few different reasons. But the Lord said, Deuteronomy chapter number 4, verses 5 and 6, and we don't have to go there. But the Lord said, look, I have taught you all of these things so that when you go out into the world or when you go into that land, you should keep them and live them, and that the people of the land would look at you and they would say, you know, as they begin to question you, wow, these are wise people and discerning people. That's what Deuteronomy 4 and 6 says. So these are wise people and discerning people. In other words, it's not you going out there and them asking you, well, why do your ladies wear pants? Why do your ladies wear skirts all the time? You're just that skirt church or whatever, you know. You say, well, that's just what the church preaches. God said, no, that's not the way that I want it. I may have convicted you. I may have pricked your heart, but I don't want you to just remain in that. I want to teach you why. And so when you can say, well, the Bible teaches and the Bible says and history teaches and this is that and all of this, then they would look at you and say, wow, I didn't know the Bible said that. Maybe I need to go read my Bible. You know, that's what God says. Praise God. How did I get off on that? Somebody help me. Somebody help me here. All right. I'll get back to my notes over here. All right. So he said that the idolaters, and so we're talking about the Lord moving upon you, the Lord touching you and dealing with you. And sometimes You may be on social media or whatever, and the Lord just says, and you're like, oh, busted. Just been on it too long. So what do? Keep pushing past that feeling, or set it aside and do something else, or go talk to the Lord or whatever. I'm just simply saying the things that matter to God, He can deal with you about. And you say, well, I'm waiting for Him to convict me because He hasn't convicted me. Sometimes it's the Word of God. I'm not relying upon feelings to predicate standards and conviction. I'm relying upon this. I'm not relying upon people's opinions. I had a situation even today, and somebody said, well, the majority is saying this. I'm like, well, the majority, the Bible said the majority is going to hell. I'm not being rude, but the Bible says broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many go in thereat. And because that straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. So majority doesn't mean that it's right. So anyways, so I'm not interested in people's feelings, opinions, and consensus, and vote, and all that other stuff. I want to know what God has to say, because that's who I'm trying to please. I'm not trying to please grandma. I'm not trying to please grandpa. I'm not trying to please, you know, all these other people. I'm not trying to please coworkers and bosses and all that. I'm trying to please God. That's where it's got to be. I'm trying to please God. All right. So God deals with me in those three ways. He'll deal with me through the preaching, through the word, and through what you would call a gut feeling, inspiration, whatever, just moves upon you. Now you say, well, I had a gut feeling, and okay, that's fine. But if that gut feeling crosses the word of God, that gut feeling was not of God. Okay. God's will never contradict His word. His word is forever settled in heaven. His word is what we will be judged by. All right. So if it contradicts the word of God, no go. All right. Praise the Lord. Are you still with me tonight? Praise God. I still got some time. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm just getting to page 2. Get some fuel here. All right. We can go on now. And so going back to our text. There is this conversation that's going on between Lucifer and Eve. All right. We've talked about this different areas, so we're not going to go into all of it. We're going to take a different look at it. But we do know that Adam was there, and he is just standing up against a tree listening to the whole thing. And Lucifer is sitting there talking to Eve. And so Lucifer and Eve are having this conversation. And he tells the woman, hath God said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The woman said, oh no, we can eat of all the trees that are in the garden except one. We eat of all the fruit that's in there, except one. And so she said, we can't eat of the one that's in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. You know, here's a perfect example of her gut inspiration and feeling crossing the word of God, because God did not say she could not touch it. All right. God told Adam, don't eat of it. All right. Adam, head of his household, talking to his wife, is saying, darling, if you ain't touching it, you're not going to eat it. So don't touch it. All right. I think he should have been more clear about saying, I'm telling you, don't touch it, because if you're not touching, you're not going to eat it. But he made it seem like God had said it. That's my opinion, all right? So Eve says, no, we can't eat it. We can't touch it, lest we die. Serpent saw that error, and he honed in on it, and he shot to kill. And he says, You're not going to die. But God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. I never looked at that before in this way. But he said, you shall be as gods. Well, we're right back to idolatry. All of these little things that have taken the place of capital G deity, God, been replaced with little G-O-D, no divinity, gods of this world, that hath blinded the minds. That's what the devil said. He said, you are going to be as God. Now, where did he come up with this concept? Well, thank you for asking. I can elaborate for that. You know where he came up with this concept? Is his bright idea in heaven. Isn't that what Isaiah chapter number 14 talks about? Isaiah 14 and 12 says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He said, I'm going to be God. You're not going to be the only one. I'm going to be God. He had this bright idea. I'm going to be as God. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 28. Now, I'm going to hit and miss on this, so if you'll just take down, I think it's probably Ezekiel 28, 1 through 16. We're not going to take the time to read all of that, but you can note it and go back and visit it because it's all good. But let's just define who we're talking about. Ezekiel 28 and 12, we're identifying. Now, this is the king of Tyre, the prince of Tyre. Chapter 28, verse number 1, he said, unto the prince of Tyre. He's like, well, who is the prince of Tyre? Well, let's get it down to see who we're talking about. Verse number 12 said, thou hast been in the Garden of Eden. That's what he said. Thou hast been in the Garden of Eden of God. Who was in the Garden of Eden of God? We only have three. Adam, Eve, and the devil. That's it. All right. So it's either Adam, prince of Tyre is either Adam or Eve or the devil. Well, since it's a prince, it's not a princess, we can take Eve out. So now it's Adam or the devil. Verse number 14, he said, thou art the anointed cherub that covers. Well, we know that Adam wasn't a cherub. Adam was human. But we do know that Lucifer was a fallen angel. And so he was a cherub. All right. So we've kind of figured all of this out. Verse number 16, O covering cherub. All right, so he re-identifies himself. So we understand that this is more than likely an analogy talking about the Prince of Tyre. The Prince of Tyre becomes, or the Prince of Tyrus becomes an analogy of the devil. And he said, you was perfect from the day that you were created in beauty and this and this. And he said, you know, the covering of all of this was your tapestry and he listed all this other stuff. But that's not what I want to focus on. Let's go back to verse number 2. And this is what the Prince of Tyre said. What did he say? He said, I am a God. I sit on the seat of God. And the Lord said, thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Verse number 6, because thou hast said in thy heart, as the heart of God. Verse number 9, wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God. And so what we've done is we have visited this to understand that the devil, amen, has got this bright idea, this concoction, this imagination that I am going to be God. I'm going to be just like him. I'm going to do everything that he does. I'm going to ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'm going to be like the Most High. Hallelujah. I'm going to exalt myself above the stars of God. I am going to be like the Most High. I am God. That's what he says. Amen. Yeah, you have said, I am God. I sit on the seat of God. I have the heart as the heart of God, and such. And so this was an enticing and persuasive argument to Eve to be as gods. I want you to know that when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, he became arch enemies with God, and his entire thought, his entire agenda is to destroy humanity. You know, if he can't have the promised land, you can't have the promised land. If he can't abide, live in heaven and have what he wants, you can't have, amen, what you want either. Amen. He is bent and warped to destroy you. And he doesn't care how that he does it. He doesn't care how long it takes. If it takes 3 days or if it takes 3 years, he's willing to provide whatever it is to distract you and to get your allegiance to turn. Even as he's spoken unto evil, as unto Eve. And he is saying, oh yes, this is going to work. I know it's going to work because I couldn't even live up to it. I failed. I was cast out of heaven. Eve, you better buckle up, honey cup, because you're getting ready to be, amen, thrown for a loop in life. You are going to be like God. Doesn't that sound persuasive? Doesn't that sound interesting? Doesn't that sound like something that you would like to do? And she's like, wow, I can be like God? Whoa, you know what? That's pretty great. Where's this stuff? I'm going to sign up right now. And so she signed up. She touched the fruit and she's like, yeah, you know what? It wasn't as bad as it was made out to be. I did it and I didn't die. She's in the process of making herself an idol. It is the idol of idols, flesh, humanity. It is the idol of idols. And there are so many things that we do to appease ourself. Amen. And the whole time we're pushing God to the side. This is still Bible here tonight. And if this offends you, it's because you have become an idol unto yourself. Amen. If this rubs you the wrong way, it's because you like the dainty little things that you are covering. Amen. Like the workman, even he that is so impoverished that he doesn't have enough money, yet he's going to do whatever he can to make his life the plush life and all of this. And this is what the devil is saying. You can have the comforts of life and you can become an idol on your own, and you are basically going to worship the ground that you walk on. You're not going to hold anything from you. Whatsoever your eyes look upon, you're going to behold and you're going to obtain. Everything that you desire and want, amen, you're going to be able to do. I've got a question for you tonight. What are you going to tell a king? How many of you tonight feel enough power and authority that you can go up to President Trump and say, listen here, buddy, you better calm it down and sit down? And you think that he's going to sit down and say, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir? There ain't no way. Amen. I want you to know that's the power that you have in your life. The preaching comes forward and you say, look, I'm king. I ain't giving up that. I ain't doing that. I ain't going there. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what it's taught. I don't care, amen, what I felt. I don't care about any of that. I am me, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do. If I don't want to come to church, I'm not coming to church. It's not because Pastor Cowan said it. It's not because Pastor Worth would say it and teach it for years. Amen. It's simply because you don't want to do it. Amen. It's what you want, what I want. What I want, I'm going to do. What I don't want to do, I'm not going to do. My wife and I have used this commonly amongst us. I said, you know what? Time for bed. Let's go to bed. She said, I'm 50 years old. I go to bed when I want to. Amen. You understand she's not being rebellious. That's just because I do the same thing. She said, let's go. I said, I'm 50 years old. I'll do what I want to do. And that's the way that some of us get with God. God moves upon us and does it. You know what? I'm big enough to do what I want to do. I'll do what I want to do. And if I don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it. Why? Because I am king of my life. That is the bill of goods.
words that the devil is saying. He's saying, you can become like God. In other words, what you're saying is, I'm going to decide what's right in my life, and I'm going to decide what's wrong in my life. I'm going to decide what I can do and what I'm not going to do. And I'm not going to listen to anybody else tell me that. I don't care what the Word of God says. That God, Lord have mercy, that is ages of gold, sister. We need to get into the new era. We need to accept the times. We need to do this. Times have changed. We don't do things. Amen. You got every excuse and every justification, but the Bible has not changed. Come on, somebody. I said the Bible has not changed. Amen. Trump doesn't possess the authority to change it. The Supreme Court doesn't possess the authority to change it. Putin doesn't possess the authority to change it. Amen. Stalin couldn't change it. Hitler couldn't change it. Thy word, O God, is forever settled in heaven. And though the grass would fade, amen, and the amen, though the grass would wither, and the flower would fade, and though heaven and earth would pass away, the word says that his word shall stand forever. Even in my Bible reading today, I read, amen, where it said, thou, O Lord, have exalted your word above your name. Honey, don't take away from the power of the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. But I want you to know it's a roadmap as well, and it can get you to heaven if you just submit yourself, humble yourself before God. Amen. Resist the devil. Amen. And be obedient. And God will save your soul.
But if you don't listen and you're not obedient, I can't make you any promises. But I can say you're in a dangerous situation. You say, why don't you just say I'm going to hell? I said, you're in a dangerous situation and there's a chance to change. Praise God. Let's look a little bit deeper at this. Second Thessalonians chapter number 2, verse number 1. Praise God. If you got a problem with this, meet me after church. We'll sit down and we'll give verse for verse. I'm not trying to be unrealistic, and I'm not trying to be brash, and I'm not trying to be a punk. I'm just saying you don't have any verses for your standing, for your ground. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind. That's what the devil's trying to do, is he's trying to get your mind. Because if he can get the logical part, the center of decision, where you make all of your decisions, that you not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us as the day of Christ is at hand. Praise God, we're still there. The day of Christ is at hand. And what Paul is saying is, don't be troubled by the letter that we're writing to you, Thessalonians, or any other letter that you would get. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, there's a lot that we could talk about. Anybody know what the number of man is? Like 666, right? You know that 666? That's the number of man. We also call that what? The mark of the beast. And it's by that number of man that's going to be somehow or another, and we don't understand it yet. Technology is definitely making the way, paving the way. They said it would be in their forehand, or in, it'd be in their hand or in their forehead. They would take that mark. It's the mark of man. You see what I'm saying? It's man has been made unto God. Stamping that on my forehead. Man rules. Human will. Will rules. but this shows us that the man of perdition, or we'll call it something else that you may be more familiar with, the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be a man. He's going to be a man. That day shall not come except there first be a falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Don't think it strange that I am preaching unto you that you can become a God unto yourself. The Antichrist, the man of perdition, will be a man. Now, I know that the spirit of Antichrist is already amongst us. And what would that be? The exaltation of flesh. So, we're not just far off in left field. And here we are talking about the end of time, when we begin to look for principles and such. We find it right there in Genesis 3. The devil said, oh, listen here, honey. You'd be just as God. You can be God in your life. You know right from wrong. Nobody else can tell you what's right from wrong. You decide what's right from wrong. Well, I don't believe that. That's, yes, yes, yes. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. That's the enemy. That sneaky little subtle. What did it say there in the first verse? Now the serpent was more subtle than any other beast of the field. That sneaky little subtle. You know, if he's so evil, why you continue to listen to him? If he's so radically messed up, why do you give him so much time to talk to you and tell you what's not right and what is right and all that other stuff? And because it's not God. God's not telling you, well, you know what? I know what I wrote in my word, but that's not really what I meant. That's not God. That's the devil. You say, well, he said he was God. Well, that's what he said in Isaiah 14 and 12 too. All right. So you guys, if it contrast, if it's contrary to the word, it wasn't God. All right. So self-idolization. This is what the Bible teaches us. Self-idolization is going to be a prominent spirit of the end time. And so if you believe that we are in the end time, then you have to believe that self-idolization is huge. All right? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And I'm looking for a place to land, all right? 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now he's going to tell us what we can expect to see. He said, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, idolizing themselves. That's what God said. Say, God didn't say that. Paul said that. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God told Paul, you need to say this because this is what's going to happen. He said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. They're going to pamper themselves. do what they want to do, go where they want to go, be what they want to be. God is saying, you need to recognize that is going to be a prominent spirit of the end time. Now, you can be on guard and you can sit here and say, oh, I'm looking for it. Where's it at? It's right here. It's right between your ears. You're trying to reason this out, just like Eve. Eve is sitting here reasoning it out. God said, I can't eat or touch it. He said, I'm going to be like God. That's what the war was. What am I going to do? What do I want to do? Oh, I want to be like God. So she makes that choice. He said, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous. I want what I want. That's what it says. I'm going to do what I want to do. Preacher starts preaching on something, gets a little bit tight, and you put your fingers in your ears. I ain't going to hear that, because if I don't hear it, I ain't going to be accountable for that. You're going to be accountable for every word that's in the Bible. So whether I tell you or I don't tell you, you're still going to be accountable for it. You better hope that I tell you. Said you're going to be covetous. I want it. You're going to be boasters. Look at what I have. Proud. That's me. Blasphemers. Because I don't care. Disobedient to parents. I don't want to do it. Unthankful. Unholy. So somebody says right there, oh, he's talking about the world. Friend, the world has never been holy so that it can become unholy. He's talking about those in the church. Without natural affection. Praise God. Are we not seeing that? And that is so self-idolatrous right there. Without natural affection. That's why they can leave their kids. That's what I'm talking about. The natural affection that a mom would have for her child. The natural affection that a dad would have. They chain them up in the basements now. Or they just leave them. What about the lady that not too long ago, she left her kids while she went on a cruise and just like Uber Eat or whatever. What do they call that? What? DoorDash. Yeah, she DoorDashed food to her kids. Without natural affection. All so that she could have that cruise. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. I don't care what I said. False accusers. Incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Mr. Goody Two Shoes over there. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'm going to do what I want to do. If I want to do it, I'm going to do it. Lovers of pleasure. Having a form of godliness, but I still go to that church over there. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I want to read to you from the Amplified Version so it's a little bit better understanding on a couple of these things. Verse number one, he said, but understand this, that in the last days will come, set in perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of themselves and utterly self-centered, lovers of money, aroused by inordinate greedy desires for wealth, proud and arrogant, contemptuous, boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemers, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And verse number five, he said, for although they hold a form of piety or a form of true religion, they deny, they reject, and are strangers to the power of it because their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. Their conduct belies the genuineness of their profession. And he said, avoid all such people and turn away from them. Praise God. That's part one. Let's stand here tonight. I want to bring it home here tonight. I haven't had a chance to talk to Brother Wirths about this specific issue. But I was talking to another minister and he brought it up. And I said, you know what? You're exactly right. Never before in my years of service doesn't rank up there with Brother Wirths and his years of service. He had 27 years of pastoring this church. I'm knocking on the door of 15 years of pastoring somewhere in that vicinity. Pastored two different churches on this. Never before. And I'm not trying to paint a bleak picture. I'm trying to open people's understanding. Never before have I ever had to deal with. And this is what this man said. And this man has pastored for probably 40 something years. He said, never before have I ever pastored and had to deal with people's faithfulness to the house of God. He said, it's always been, that's just something that we always know. We just do church. Our whole life has evolved around church. Everything that it is, it's church. It's not just church. It's not just church Sunday morning and Sunday night. Friend, when I was going up, we had church Sunday morning and Sunday night. Monday night, I think we had off. Tuesday, we had prayer. Wednesday, we had church. Thursday night, we had youth service, full-blown church. Friday night, we had youth congregating together and just having a big party and having fun. Saturday, we were doing outreach or mowing the yard or work days, or but we was always around the church. Always, always. As a matter of fact, I remember my pastor saying in the church, I remember him saying this in church, you need to take a day off. You need to have a night that you're just with your family. Can you imagine that? It was always just like church, 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 church. And the pastor says, you know what? You need a night with your family. Stay home and be with your family. You really mean that? Yeah. Today we're like begging, pulling hair, pulling teeth, doing everything else. I'll pay you $10. I'll pay you $100 if you come to church. You need to recognize and understand it's the spirit of the end time. Self-exaltation. I'm strong. I don't have to go to church. That's why you're struggling. You're so strong, you're struggling. Right. I said it the other day, and I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to open our understanding. Hallelujah. That there are times that we say, I don't understand. And it's because, and I'm not pointing at any one person. I'm talking in general, and it would be myself as well. So I don't understand. It's because we don't come to church enough. Right. Well, I think I get plenty. I said it the other day. I taught for 30 weeks, almost 30, 28 weeks on holiness. And if you don't understand it, it's not because it hasn't been taught. And it's not, that wasn't the first time you heard it. For 27 years, you had a man that would preach it unto you and teach it. You've got to understand. It's not that I am upset with you. It's that I, as the watchman that stands on the wall, I am looking and I see things that you don't see. I see the enemy, the most subtle beast of the field, the lion, your adversary, as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, creeping through the grass. That's what I see. While people just do what they want to do. It's not a problem that is centralized only at New Life Tabernacle. This man told me, he said, Brother Cowan, he said, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what to do. He said, I've never had to deal with it in this wise before. I said, you're right. You're right. It's never been that way before. Some of you that have been in church for years and years and years, you know what I'm talking about. We lived at the church. It was our everything. It was literally our everything. The spirit of the age, the spirit of the end time. It's a spirit of self-idolization. I just don't feel like going tonight. I'm tired. I'm not feeling great. I could go on and on and on and on. If you go on vacation, my hat's off to you. Go. Have a blast. Have a fun time. Don't be sinning. Don't get off in all the sin and all the other stuff. You work hard. You deserve it. You're going to hear no beef from me on those things. But if we can be in church, we need to be. That's what the book of Hebrews chapter number 10 tells us. Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And then he said it like this, even so much more, even as you see that day approaching. I don't have time to trust my flesh. The Bible says it like this. He says, don't give place to the devil. Because if you give place to the devil, he's not just going to tiptoe into your life and sidle up to you and just be a little cozy. He's literally going to jump in the fat middle of it and try to knock you out as far as you can so that he can get all the ground that he can. And then as it keeps, he's just going to keep opposing and opposing and opposing. And all of a sudden, King Jesus is locked in a closet. And it may have taken 3 years, but now there's another idol in your life. You. Eve, you be just like God. Adam, you be just like God. You'll be as gods. Be God in your life. It was a deal too good for them to refuse. It was demonic. Demonic in its source. A deal too good to refuse. They bought in at a cheap price. Just one fruit. Just one bite was all it cost. And it created a lifetime of regret. Don't allow your desires, your passions to overwhelm what you know to cause you a lifetime of regrets, an eternity of regret. I will be the best friend that you have ever had. I will help you. I will fight for you. I will struggle for you. Not with you, but for you. I'll do everything that I can to help you. And if you don't understand something, just come talk to me about it. And we'll make time. We'll sit down. And we'll get it. We'll get it. I want you to have that solid foundation that when you're out there and people ask you why, you can say, because the Bible says. I am not one, and I think that time has proven, I'm not one that says it's my way or the highway. I'm not overzealous and harsh and cruel and overbearing. But yet there is a spirit of self-idolization that's inside in your head right now saying, oh yes, you are. You're asking too much. You always want too much. You want us to be at music practice 30 minutes early. Sorry, but the charismatics get to music practice 2 hours early. I've read where the charismatics, their worship leaders and musicians, not their singers, but the worship leaders and musicians are at church at 6:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. It's just that spirit. And you have to understand and realize, well, wait a second. Wait a second. I got to change some things up. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. Would you do that? Would you start with that? Let's start right there. And let's start tonight. And I'm opening up these altars. You know what your issue is, what your problem is, whether it's a job, whether it's money, whether it's a car, home, whether it's children, whether it's parents, whether it's whatever it is. Would you come set that before God and say, God, here it is. I'm giving you everything because I want to be saved. I'm talking about the idol of all idols. Bigger than Buddha. Bigger than Muhammad. Bigger than anything that this world has concocted. And it's just the thing that walks in the very shoes that you walk in. Humanity. Flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Well, this is time for self-evaluation. This is the word of God piercing asunder, dividing between soul and spirit. Come on, don't let the devil condemn you, but at the same time, let God convict you. Let the word of God convict you. God does it for good. The devil condemns you for bad, because when you're condemned, you're like, I'm not good enough. I can never do it. I can't. I'm just going to quit. That's condemnation. But God, when he convicts your soul, he's like, draw closer. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Draw closer to me. Come on, come closer to me. Come closer to me. That's what conviction does. That's the power of God. It's God exposing the lie. It's God exposing, amen, the work of the enemy. The enemy is getting you frequent and comfortable with feeling what you like and what you want. What you desire. That's the devil. That's the spirit of the end time. That's the devil saying, you don't really believe that. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. So you got to shake yourself. You got to shake yourself and say, oh, no, wait a second. I can't be doing this. I've got to submit myself, therefore, to God. I've got to resist the devil. And he will flee. Oh, would you let God do that tonight? Would you let God do that tonight?